Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the one and only Scarycast on Monday night. This is Dr. John Stamey live from a cool but crisp and wonderful Myrtle Beach tonight. We have got one of my favorite guests with us who comes on once a month, and he has written a book that I believe is now my favorite book. So first of all, I want to introduce our co-hosts, and then we will get to the one and only John LeMay. First of all, Papa Stroh, how's everything up there in Emerald Isle?
Doing good. John, I just got through attending a funeral and a wake for my cousin who just passed away from cancer. But, you know, much better place. And other than that, doing good. Just getting ready for the week and excited about tonight. Billy the Kid. Man, let's do it.
You better believe it. The one and only Billy the Kid. So, we're glad to have you with us. And we've got from the murder capital of the world, nothing but Harlan County, Kentucky, the one and only Tony Pelosi. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, John. I'm just discovering more and more murders that took place in the courthouse, the building that I work in. And working a whole lot on some paranormal, got a couple of pretty big paranormal cases I'm working on. And I'm super excited about Billy the Kid. Who doesn't love Billy the Kid? Besides the people.
Well, I really do now that I've read his book. I'm going to tell you that. So we're looking forward to having him tonight. Our man from Hollywood. Are you inside, buddy? Devin Tate.
Woo!
We're
under stay at home orders, so I'm hunkering down here at home.
How is it being at home?
Well, I've pretty much been here since March, so not much different than any other day this year, really.
Really? How does everybody feel?
No, I don't know. I did go to pick up lunch today, and it's just kind of weird and quiet outside, but a lot of places have big lines in front of them. You know, if it's like a post office or a UPS place or a grocery store, there's long lines, but otherwise it's quiet, and it was a gray, cold day, so kind of nice, kind of gets you in the holiday spirit.
Well, that's great. We're glad you're here with us, and so you can go outside a little bit during the day, and then you have to be in at 3 or 4 or something like that?
Well, you're allowed to go out for, you know, essential activities, getting food or something like that, but otherwise you're supposed to stay at home.
Okay, well, it's good that you can at least get outside and get a little bit of food or whatever. So that's a good thing. And let's see. Let me check and see who all has joined us, if our hosting company will get just a little faster so I can see everybody. Well, maybe not. There we go. And here is, first of all, the First Lady of Scarycast, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm excited to do the show tonight. The topic sounds exciting.
Well, it really is. I'm glad you're here. And bringing up the group from Charleston, here is the one and only Amazing Velvet. How are you doing, Amazing Velvet? Are you feeling better?
I'm feeling a lot better, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I think this is going to be a great show. Can't wait.
Oh, my God.
Well, I can't
Velvet.
Either.
There goes the podcast.
What did he say?
Oh, no.
I ruined the podcast.
Said, oh,
okay, I'm going
Velvet,
home.
There goes the podcast.
Okay. Oh,
it's,
hey,
it's
Jazz.
Like,
thank
it's
you,
like
Jazz.
The apes from Spaceballs when they see Spaceballs
hey,
coming down from the sky. They're like, what's
thank
this coming
yeah.
up your nose? And, oh, crap. There goes the planet.
Right. Thanks. You sound like Chaz. Thank you, Chaz.
Oh, you will.
No, don't call.
I'll give you a big meatball for that comment.
Okay. And tonight, from Roswell, New Mexico, a phenomenal author and a really interesting guy and a good friend. I'd like to introduce the one, the only, John LeMay. How are you doing tonight, John?
Hey, John, I'm doing great.
Well, I tell you what, when John logged on first, I said, John, I like your book better than any other book. And he talked to me so much, he said, you like it better than Dracula? I said, yeah. I said, I didn't know anything about Billy the Kid. And the title of this book, I think John sent it to me. It's called Tall Tales and Half-Truths of Billy the Kid. And now, John, when did you write this book? It's published by the History Press, so this is kind of a big deal. So when did you write this?
Yeah, so this one was, let's see, 6 years and 20 books ago for me. So 2014. Or no, you know what? I wrote it in 2014, and I think it came out in 15. So it's only 5 years old.
Okay, great. And how did you get hooked? You know, this is, I think, a little bit of an interesting question. I self-publish because that's, you know, that's what I do. And nobody offered to publish the Lizard Man Companion. It's now out. Go to lizardmancompanion.com and buy yourself up a copy. But how did you get hooked up with the History Press for this phenomenal, phenomenal piece of work?
So at the time, I hadn't really learned how to self-publish. You know, now that's all I do because it's so much better. But I had done books for Arcadia, which is a photo history company, and they were the only people I'd really done books for. And so I was kind of excited when the History Press, they reached out to our historical museum here in Roswell, and they just wanted, they were wanting, you know, some sort of southeastern New Mexico history book. So I asked them if they'd like a book about Billy the Kid, and I was excited at the time, again, because I'd only done books for Arcadia. And then, you know, so I could say, well, now I've had two different publishers. And then right before the book was published, Arcadia bought the History Press or vice versa or something, and they conjoined. So it was like I was working for the same publisher again, which is kind of funny. But my story behind how the book was created, my title for it, they did not like. My, you know, you've got to understand, if you don't know Billy the Kid, there's a zillion books on Billy the Kid. Literally, there's tons of them. A lot of them are really similar, so I thought it would be funny to do a book and call it Another Book About Billy the Kid, and they didn't see the humor in it. I think they were worried it wouldn't sell, so they're the ones who came up with Tall Tales and Half-Truths, which I guess is cool, but I kind of liked my title. But
I like your title, too.
I do, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Now, for the benefit of our panelists, give us the summary of the first chapter and anything else very important. I guess the most important thing would be to chronicle Billy's life up till the famous meeting in that house of Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid and what supposedly happened. Would you mind doing that, please?
So Billy the Kid was born in a log cabin that he helped his father to build. No, that's Abe Lincoln. That's Abe Lincoln. That's who that was. That's a really old joke. My grandmother, who would be, if my grandmother was alive today, she'd be 101, and that was her joke, that Abe Lincoln grew up in the house that he helped his father to build. But it was kind of her way to test to see if you're paying attention. Billy the Kid, everybody thinks, was born in 1859. And I think he was born in New York, but it still hasn't been proven. He had a brother named Joe, and he moved out west with his mother. I think Billy the Kid's father died in the Civil War. Can't remember. The mother remarried a man named Antrim in Silver City. And so then Henry McCarty became Henry Antrim. And somehow along the way, he went from being Henry to being William Bonney. I don't know how he went from Henry to Billy, but I probably knew it one time and I've forgotten. John, you just read my book. Am I getting this right? Does this sound correct?
You're right on the money so far. Right on the money in,
okay,
Silver
good,
City.
Good.
By the way, remind everybody where was Silver City, because that was kind of Billy the Kid's first entree into the Southwest, I believe.
Yes, so Silver City is in western New Mexico compared to Lincoln and Roswell, which are in eastern New Mexico. So it's southwestern New Mexico and southeastern New Mexico were his two main haunts. So his mother, Catherine Antrim, she died when Billy was 13. And so he was on his own very young, and he didn't stick with his stepfather or his brother. And he went off to Arizona, where he killed his first man in self-defense because he was just a big bully that was picking on him. I think his name was Wendy Cahill. And then Billy came back to New Mexico in the vicinity of where I live now, which is Roswell. And he got a job working for John Chisholm, who was the big cattle king here. In popular culture, you know, John Wayne played Chisholm in a movie by that same name in 1970. That's how most people remember Chisholm.
Love that film.
Yeah, and then Billy became involved in one of the, like, the most popular historical tales of New Mexico, which was the Lincoln County War, which we could talk about all night. That was so complicated. But basically, it was just rich men fighting each other over land and cattle, and Billy ended up being on the losing side of that. And again, Billy worked for John Chisholm, and later Billy started stealing John Chisholm's cows because Billy felt that Chisholm never paid him the wages that were owed to him. And so then Chisholm hired Pat Garrett to hunt Billy down, and he did that on July 14th, 1881 in Fort Sumner, New Mexico, and shot Billy dead in the dark. And, you know, the great myth about Billy was he died when he was 21 and he killed 21 men, which probably isn't true. He was probably wasn't exactly 21, probably didn't kill exactly 21 men either, but it's a great story.
Well, now, when you say he died in the dark, what I understood from your book was that he appeared in Pat Garrett's bedroom and they had an altercation and Pat Garrett shot him. Is that the correct story?
It's correct, except for it wasn't Pat Garrett's bedroom. So Pat Garrett, he actually lived here in Roswell, where I live. And Fort Sumner is about an hour and a half north of Roswell by vehicle today. And Billy was hiding out in Fort Sumner because everybody thinks he probably had a girlfriend there. And so the bedroom was the brother of the girlfriend. Her name was Paulita Maxwell, and his name was Pete Maxwell. And Pat Garrett, it's one of those kind of odd, fishy stories that's almost too fortuitous where you have to wonder about it. So think about it this way. You know, Pat Garrett is in Fort Sumner looking for Billy the Kid, has no idea where he might be. So he gets into Fort Sumner late, and he goes into the bedroom of Pete Maxwell, who he knows, and he wakes him up and he asks him, Pete, have you seen Billy the Kid around here? And within a few minutes, Billy the Kid actually walks into the room in the dark, asking who's there. He kept asking quién es, or who is there in Spanish. And Pat Garrett knew it was Billy, so he took the opportunity and he shot him dead. So again, that's why, you know, some people out there think that there's something a little fishy about the story, and maybe Billy didn't really
die.
That
seems
Pat
too
Garrett
easy.
Shot somebody else. Exactly. Yeah. That's right. It just seems way too easy. So it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
And now comes the various stories about the burial and location of the burial of Billy the Kid, right?
Oh, gosh. So many cool macabre stories about the burial of Billy the Kid. But my favorite was dug up by, his name's Dr. Robert J. Stahl. Supposedly, and this is according to newspaper articles of the time, you know, Billy the Kid was so famous, somebody allegedly chopped off his trigger finger before they buried him and kept it as a souvenir, and they put it in a jar to kind of pickle it and preserve it, and they put it in the office of the Las Vegas, New Mexico newspaper. That's a pretty crazy story. And then,
wow,
John, do you remember that one fairly well? Because there was more to it.
I remember that that's what they did, and then it seemed as though the trigger finger traveled around a bit. In other words, it was
that's
stuck.
Right, yeah, the trigger finger traveled around.
and went around.
Oh, man.
Okay, and then good. Yeah, there was also an additional rumor that that somebody else dug Billy the Kid off. They called him a skeletologist, and he was gonna scrape the flesh from Billy's bones and display his skeleton at a traveling circus. That was another rumor that went around.
Right. There was just so much going on about Billy the Kid. Now, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Make a case that Billy the Kid was not shot by Pat Garrett. So what would that scenario have looked like? Where would Billy the Kid have ended up? Because there's a character named Brushy Bill, which I think is about as fishy as Fisherman's Wharf. But so if you could
I used to eat there,
chat
man.
About that a little bit. Do what? What did you say, Rob?
Fisherman's Wharf, what a restaurant. Yeah, that's
yeah.
awesome.
Well, on that, I just go back again to, like Robin said, you know, it was just too lucky that Billy walked into the room and Pat Garrett could shoot him so easily. You know, again, that's why there were so many rumors that he didn't really kill Billy. He just killed another man and buried him. And that was the other thing, is supposedly a lot of people weren't allowed to see Billy's body, which is also really fishy.
Yeah,
so whether or not
right
it, yeah. mm-hmm. So whether or not it was Brushy Bill Roberts, who we'll get to in a minute, you know, there seems to be some good evidence that something strange was going on, and maybe Billy didn't die. Now there was a lot of men in probably the 1920s and 1930s. You know, people kind of forgot about Billy the Kid in the early 1900s. And then an author came along named Walter Noble Burns in the 1920s. He wrote a best-selling book on Billy called Saga of Billy the Kid. Incredibly popular book. People started driving through the Fort Sumner Cemetery looking for Billy's grave, and Fort Sumner finally realized they could use that for tourism. And then, you know, in the 1930s, the Great Depression happened, and the Federal Writers Project was born to help make some jobs. So in the 1930s, these reporters would interview a lot of old-timers. And in New Mexico, pretty much all they could talk about was Billy the Kid and the Lincoln County War. And a lot of the people that got interviewed claimed that Billy didn't really die, and that in the years since his alleged death, you know, Billy would ride up from Mexico and pay him a visit. And a lot of them told a similar story about that. And after it became popular, or Billy became popular again, older men who were within the right age range would claim that they were Billy. And, of course, back then it was really easy to fake stuff like that. There was no internet records to look up right away. You know, they couldn't do DNA tests and things like that. So I don't remember how many men claimed to be Billy the Kid, probably at least a dozen. But the one who got all the attention was named Brushy Bill Roberts from Hyco, Texas. And he actually managed to secure a meeting with the current New Mexico governor in 1949. The governor's name was Thomas Mabry. And Brushy Bill, I guess we need to explain some backstory here, that back in the 1870s, Billy asked the current governor back then, Lew Wallace, if he could get a pardon for his deeds done during the Lincoln County War, and he never got his pardon. So the whole thing about this meeting all the way in 1949 was Brushy Bill, you know, under the auspices that he was Billy the Kid, he wanted to finally get his pardon from the governor. And the thing was, though, he was supposed to have a secret meeting with Governor Mabry, and Governor Mabry invited the press to a meeting, and the story goes that Brushy Bill got confused by all the reporters and the flashbulbs, and he kind of fell to pieces, and he couldn't remember anything, and he didn't seem very convincing. In other words, is Billy the Kid at the meeting that occurred. So that kind of killed his credibility. And the other bad thing about Brushy Bill was he really didn't look old enough to be Billy the Kid, and a lot of researchers say that he wasn't old enough. He was probably 20 years too young to be Billy, is what most real serious researchers think about that. And I believe Rushy Bill died in 1950, about a year later. But the story
well, I'm
going to
ask
weird
all of
weird.
Our panelists.
Yeah.
Okay, Devin, do you remember a major event when you were 4 years old? Just yes or no?
No. My memory's not that good. I don't.
All right, Papa Stroh, do you remember the first time you were trained as a professional wrestler?
How could I forget?
I mean, let's put it this way. I don't care how many bulbs go off and flash in your face. You're not going to forget that story. I mean, that's about like forgetting the Lincoln County Wars.
Right.
Robin, do you remember the first time that you were taken up in a spaceship? I bet you do.
I'm 4 years old. Yes, I do.
I mean, here's the point. I don't care how many light bulbs flash. I don't care how many flash bulbs blink at you, John LeMay. You don't forget things that are that important, that they don't confuse you. I mean, either you forget your name and everything and forget how to walk and you become a vegetable, or you remember it if it happened to you, if it was that important. So
I just got to say,
that's
what I think. Yeah. Since we said the word spaceship, I got to touch on the spaceship. You got to think about this. Thomas Mabry, I believe, was governor from 46 to 50. So he was governor when the Roswell UFO crash happened. And I know Thomas Mabry's lieutenant governor, lieutenant governor Joe Montoya, saw the alien body. So I would think if the lieutenant governor saw the body, then Governor Mabry, he might have seen him too. You got to think about it. Governor Mabry might have seen the Roswell aliens, and he might have met Billy the Kid.
Wow.
Maybe.
But was the meeting happened in 1949?
Yep, that's right. 1949.
Okay, and Billy the Kid was born 1859, 1860.
Yep, so he would have allegedly been 90 years old, if that was correct.
Right.
No, and he didn't look like him either. Billy the Kid had a displaced front tooth. You know, like, suppose you're in a fight and somebody punches you square in the face, and it looked like it about broke his tooth and it was displaced a little bit. And Rushy Bill didn't have any evidence of anything like that. I mean, in 1940, I don't believe we were doing cosmetic dentistry. So, I mean, Rushy Bill would have had a messed up mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. But that's just me. And as I said in the beginning of this, I believe Billy the Kid was America's first rock star. And what little bit of psychic I have in me sees the guy smiling when I say that, because John LeMay, wasn't he insanely popular as a folk hero or a legend or whatever?
He was. He was very popular with the women. And the picture of him isn't really a good one, but I mean, how many of us take bad pictures that don't look anything like us? Because some of the women from that time of Billy's only one photograph, they say it's a bad picture and it doesn't really look or doesn't really capture his essence very well. Because when you say Billy the Kid was a ladies man, a lot of people kind of roll their eyes because it doesn't really look that way in his one picture. But yeah, he was very popular because he was good looking and he was young and he was skilled. Probably when you hear people say that Billy the Kid was their great, 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 great grandpa, that's probably true. He probably had a lot of illegitimate children, you know, outside of marriage. That's probably true. It's just hard to prove it.
Well, I mean, was he even married?
No, never. Rushy Bill, I think, got married later on. Okay, this is Scary Cast, so I've got an analogy to draw. Some of the listeners out there have probably seen that Bruce Campbell movie, Bubba Hotep. Are y'all familiar with that at all?
No.
I'm not.
Yes,
no.
I've seen it.
Yeah,
did one
familiar.
Of you say you'd seen it or no?
I've heard a term. But
I've heard
about it.
Okay, it's a really funny movie if you haven't seen it. I love the concept. Bubba Hotep is about Elvis, and Elvis didn't really die, and Elvis is in a nursing home, And in the same nursing home, Elvis meets JFK, who also didn't really die. And they both have to team up to fight a mummy who's killing people in the old folks' home. It's a really wild movie. Really funny.
Oh, that's great.
It's a scary cast.
Hey,
you know,
Papa, see it now.
Papa,
how you
like
it? You need to look at
Papa Stroh. See if you can find it for next week on the Stroh Zone. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely a must see.
Bubba Hotel.
The reason
that
why
great.
I brought that up. So you all like the sound of that movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So here's the reason I brought it up, though. I mean, it's a crazy story. Like, how would Elvis and JFK end up in the same nursing home? Well, here's the thing about Brushy Bill. Brushy Bill, no joke, lived next door to J. Frank Dalton, who was Jesse James. How many people remember the J. Frank Dalton story?
I think I do.
Yes, but go ahead and tell it. That'll be great. Are you versed enough to tell that? I bet you are.
I am. Yeah, I can remember that one. So Jesse James, you know, was famous at exactly the same time that Billy the Kid was famous. You know, he was just more popular in Missouri instead of New Mexico. You know, Jesse James is probably the more throughout America. He might even be more famous than Billy the Kid, but I'm biased, you know, to say Billy's more famous. But Jesse James, funny thing is, he died in 1882, a year after Billy died. But just like Billy, all sorts of people came forward saying that they were Jesse James and he wasn't really dead. And the most famous one was J. Frank Dalton, who, like I said, was actually Brushy Bill Roberts' neighbor, and they were friends. And so you have to wonder, one of two things, either they really were, and that's how they knew each other, or perhaps Brushy Bill saw that J. Frank Dalton was getting all this attention, and he thought, well, I'll just say I'm Billy the Kid. You know,
well,
again,
all you have to do
know,
is be – I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to be politically incorrect. All you have to do is say that your name is Jesse Jackson, call yourself a reverend, and then say that you were the first person at Martin Luther King's side when he was assassinated. That's all you have to do. You don't have to claim you're somebody. You can just say, well, I was there. I mean, I'm sorry. That's terrible. God, I don't think God's going to get me, but I think maybe the men in black are going to come find me for that statement. Please forgive me, everybody. Devin, I'm going to have to come to Hollywood and escape after what I just said.
You're welcome to
okay.
come out here anytime you want.
I'm gonna tell you folks something.
Devin, steal the deal.
I love being on Scary Cast more than anything else when we got a good guest, and I probably say the most politically abysmally incorrect things, but that's okay. It's my one release of the week, and you know what? We still got some great people on Scary Cast, so I don't think you mind my off-color comments. All right, I'll shut up, and let's get to our guest who knows what he's doing, John LeMay.
Well, our story continues to get weirder. So Brushy Bill is touring New Mexico in 1950, right before he dies, and in a touch of irony, he goes to visit Billy the Kid's grave in Fort Sumner. So about a month later, Billy the Kid's tombstone goes missing. It's stolen. And then Brushy Bill dies not long after that, and they can't find this tombstone of Billy's for exactly 26 years. And in 1976, they finally find the tombstone, and it's in a place called Granbury, Texas, which is a sister city to Hyco, Texas, where Brushy Bill lived. And for years and years, I always thought there had to be a connection. And so I asked an expert about it, and he told me that most likely they found some evidence that the one who stole the tombstone was J. Frank Dalton's lawyer/grandson. So maybe Jesse James's grandson stole Billy the Kid's tombstone.
Imagine that.
Oh, wow.
It can't get much stranger than that, can
no,
it?
No.
Oh, yes, it can. Yes, it can. We'll get a mummy in there, too. We'll get a mummy. So John
yes.
Wilkes Booth.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, John Wilkes Booth. He's another one of those that didn't really die. You know, Lincoln's assassin. He's another one of them. He got away, and he lived, and he was a bartender in Granbury, Texas. You know, again, where the tombstone was found. He died, and he was mummified, and they took his mummy on a traveling circus.
That's great.
I wish I could say there was a curse with the mummy. I don't think there was. I think it just toured and that was it. But it's still a bunch of weird stuff.
Oh well, John, I got one more that'll make that even weirder.
Oh good.
Because when I talked to the attorney up in British Columbia, that wrote about the Pegasus Project when he was a kid, and they sent kids back, in history to. Right after the Civil War to figure out who shot Lincoln. It was, you know, a big Tesla thing and all this. He wrote a book about it. Now everybody has vanished that ever had anything to do with that stuff. And when I talked to him, he said, and I quote, so now John, we got to figure out how to wrap this part in it. He said that they sent kids back many, many times to see who really shot Lincoln. And 70% of the time it was John Wilkes Booth, but 20% of the time it was Mary Todd Lincoln. And 10% of the time, it was somebody else. So we've got to figure out how that plays into the mummy of John Wilkes Booth. I just lost everybody, and I know it.
No, I'm trying to tie it in to the Mandela effect.
It just got
the
strange.
Mandela effect. Maybe
we'll talk about this later, John. I don't want to get everybody too weirded out, but you know, there were some interesting things back there, and it seems like it's kind of like in Hollywood. Devin will tell you, famous people hang out with famous people, right, Devin?
Yep.
So you got all these people that were out killing people, they're all just hanging out with each
that
other.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's why I hang
sure.
out with Stroke.
Yeah,
that's right.
We're famous, Velvet.
Oh,
we're
really?
Famous, man.
I didn't know that. My bad.
Yeah. Now you do. You're famous.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I tell you what, we're all famous on this show. I'll tell you that. Every single one of us.
I love this show.
Now, John, we're going to take a momentary break, if we may. And I asked Robin, who is our resident remote viewer, to cogitate on the ideas in and around Billy the Kid. And Robin, did you pick up any vibes that you would care to share with us?
About what aspects of Billy the Kid?
Anything you got. Like we're all ears. We are all ears.
I just think that his personality, I don't think he was always as serious as people think he is. Like, when I tried to talk to him earlier today, he was kind of a smartass.
I like him already.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just being honest, you know? And I think that when it started out, he didn't ever think that he was going to be as big as he was. And then once he found out he was, the ego thing kicked in. But I don't think the truth about him is out. I think that what's been printed about him and what was said and how he died, I don't for one second believe that. I think that's what they chose to tell the public, but that's not what really happened to him.
I agree with that.
Yes.
John LeMay, what do you think?
I think so. When something seems fishy, it's usually fishy.
Yeah, he said that the books have it all wrong. He did not die the way they said. And that was not the man that killed him. He didn't give me a name. He just said that the person that did it got away.
Aha, so he didn't die of old age like Brushy Bill then. See, that's something to go on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe,
hey,
all right,
everybody,
Bill
you heard it here first.
Age.
The wrong person was given credit for killing Billy the Kid. He lived to an older age, and somebody killed him and got away. And we don't really have any more than that. We'll let everybody know the next time. whatever that means. But yeah, that's as good of an explanation as anything.
I would totally hang out with him. I totally would.
We'd
have
all
so much fun.
Would hang out with. I'm telling you, I just think John LeMay. I think on the coolness factor, Billy the Kid is about a 9.9. Don't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And Papa Stro, you're right. He is. If I could go back into time, I'd want to hang out with Billy the Kid and find out what really happened back then. And I mean, who knows about the aliens that picked him up on the spaceship and everything? I mean, who knows? Who knows? All
what
right,
about
now,
this scenario?
Now, John?
I got a scenario for you.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I got a scenario. What about this? What about when Billy came into town and they hatched the whole thing up and said, you know what? I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to make it look like I killed you. And they said, okay. And so they killed another guy and buried him, and Billy the Kid went on about his business.
Yeah, somebody did say that. I don't remember who, but that story was told as one of the possibilities by an old-timer, so that could be.
I mean,
well,
I can
I think
see
he
that
went
happening.
Down to Mexico for a while till things cooled off. Now, that's what I think.
I don't believe him. I would, too.
I'm just saying,
exactly.
I think they said, you know what? You know, I'm not going to do it. It ain't worth it. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll just do this instead. That was it. He told Billy, go lay low.
I think he laid low in Mexico and somehow came back. Maybe he was hanging out with. Yeah. But that's just me. So, now, John LeMay, had he gone down to Mexico for about 5 years and laid low, when he came back, where would you hypothesize that he went, and what would he have done to stay undercover for a bit?
Well, Brushy Bill sure didn't stay undercover. He went to Mexico and fought with Pancho Villa, and then he joined Buffalo Bill Cody's Wild West show, so he didn't keep a low profile if he was Billy the Kid. Now, what would Billy do? I have no idea what he'd do. I just don't know, because I don't know what skills he had other than his gun skills, you know, to make a living. So I have no idea what he would have done.
Well, he could have been a bartender.
Do you think he was?
Maybe. I mean, that would be what he could do. He certainly could do.
That's true.
Although from what I saw in your book, I never saw much about him being a legendary drinker and partier.
No, I didn't either. Uh-uh.
I think he was just busy trying to stay alive and protect himself, and he shot some people doing it, and I don't think he was a murderer. Does that sound so far-fetched, John LeMay?
No, most all of his killings had to do with the Lincoln County War, you know, which was a war. And, you know, his other killings were typically when people bullied him and they invited him into a fight. He was never a cold-blooded killer just for the heck of it. You know, people would challenge him and he'd win the fight. Now, something
yeah,
really,
really
cool about, yeah. Something really cool
because
about
what?
Billy the Kid. You got to think about it. In the old westerns, the two things that got glorified the most were always the gunslingers. Then the other was the card shark gamblers. And you know what is so cool, and hardly anybody knows this. Billy the Kid's brother Joe was a huge card shark. He was incredibly talented with the cards, and hardly anybody ever tells his story. And what's really sad is. A reporter interviewed him, I think, in the 1920s, and they didn't even ask him about being Billy the Kid's brother. And that his name was Joe Antrim. He probably could have dispelled so many myths about Billy the Kid and told us where he was born and all sorts of stuff. But Joe Antrim, Billy's brother, probably has a lot of interesting stories that we never heard.
I guess he might have wanted to distance himself from Henry, his brother.
Mm-hmm. And he met with Pat Garrett shortly after Pat Garrett killed Billy, and people thought they were going to fight, and they had a very peaceable meeting, you know, and so that's another reason why people, you know, conspiracy theorists will say, well, Pat Garrett told him he didn't really kill his brother, and who knows.
It's just such a great mystery. I will say that if Lyle Blackburn called the Lizard Man South Carolina's greatest mystery, I would have to say that Billy the Kid is absolutely New Mexico and Arizona's biggest mystery. Because we don't know what happened, do we, John?
No, not conclusively. And even recently, as far as it was like 10 years ago, they were trying once again to dig up Billy the Kid's grave. And so the idea was to dig up Billy's body and do a DNA test to compare it to his mother in Silver City and see if they matched up. And then they were also going to compare
the
mother.
I think they're digging up the wrong
grave. Well, and that's another funny story. The grave marker for Billy the Kid was washed away long ago. And they don't actually know exactly where it was. And some old-timers all pointed to different spots in the graveyard, and they kind of chose a spot right in between. So chances are when you go to the Fort Sumner graveyard, I mean, maybe he's in there somewhere, but he's not under that exact spot. So even if they had tried to dig him up.
They're digging up the wrong grave.
Well, you know, we've got our own mystery right here in Myrtle Beach, and that is the mystery of Alice of the Hermitage, Alice Flagg, the most famous and romantic ghost in the whole Southeast. And there are actually 8 Alice Flags because all the cousins and her, you know, and her relatives, they were all named Alice Flagg. There were 8 of them. I know where 3 of the graves are, and possibly the biggest expert, if there could be an expert on Alice Flagg and where she's buried, is my buddy Jay Bolts. He's an attorney here in Myrtle Beach, and he has studied Alice for over 50 years. And he says she's just simply buried in the flag plot at Blaine United Methodist Church in Merle's Inlet. It's just, he said it's as simple as that. That's where she was buried. But everybody else wants to make something of it because it's such a wonderful legend and ghost story and everything. It's the most wonderful thing. I mean, I had an experience trying to find Alice Flagg's grave with a group of people that didn't exist. I mean, me and my buddy Joe, who was a videographer, we walked into the Merle's Inlet Fire Department, and there was a guy sitting there at the desk, and we asked him about Alice Flagg. He said, oh, well, you know, there's a bar named Alice Flagg. It's real popular, and they have lots of entertainment there. He said, you ought to go there, and maybe they'll know something. So we walked outside, and I immediately said, Joe, I need to go to the bathroom. I'm going to walk right back. So I walked right back in. There was no way the guy could have gotten out of his office, and he had vanished. The man absolutely vanished. And Joe came in there. We looked all over. We looked in the bathroom. He looked everywhere. The guy was not there. There is never has been a tavern named Alice Flagg's. And I mean, you know, so there's my ghost story for Alice Flagg. I mean, you know, she knows I'm out looking for her, and she's staying very quiet. And so just wonder where, you know, there's got to be an expert on Billy the Kid that really knows. Or the story has been handed down, because stories do get handed down. And Robin, thank you for your insight. I mean, you say he was a smart ass. I'm glad he was. John, don't you think he would have been a great smart ass?
Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt.
All right, now here's what I want to do, because we've got some of the most intelligent and interesting panelists in the world. I want to go around the room, the virtual room, and ask you a question. If you got to meet Billy the Kid, his spirit, or somehow he was still alive at, I don't know, 140 years old, and you could ask him a question, and I'm sorry if your question gets taken, So think of two questions. What would you ask Billy the Kid, and what would you postulate the answer? I think that's just a great question. So I'm going to do this in the order that people came on here, except for John LeMay. John LeMay and I will go last. But let's see, the next person after you, John LeMay, it was Devin Tate, and then followed by Papa Stroh. Devin, if you could meet Billy the Kid, what would you ask him, and what would you think the answer might be?
Well, I would definitely want to just get him involved in a conversation to get him to tell some stories, but I think if I had to ask him one question, I'd probably wonder if he's happy being known as a kid for the rest of eternity.
That's a great question. Are you happy with being known as a kid? That's great. Papa Stroh, what would you like to ask the great Billy the Kid? And what do you think his answer might be?
Oh, I would ask him first off what kind of ribs he pulled on the other people back in his day, right? And, I mean, I could so see him, like, putting junk in someone's gun to try to get him to shoot at him, right? And just different things, little pranks here and there, right? I'd just love to hear some of the stuff he would rib people with. Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing, I think.
Now, you like that subject because being a famous professional wrestler, you and the other wrestlers used to rib each other and pull practical jokes all the time, of which you've told me many, and they're a lot of fun. But I never thought about it. John LeMay, do you think that Billy the Kid might have been a smart ass and he might have pulled some ribs on people?
No doubt. I would be so disappointed if he didn't.
Yeah.
Billy, we would be disappointed in you. You know he did. I bet he was a lot of fun to hang out with. John, did you ever see anything of that nature about him from other folks, or did they just portray him as a kind of a boring dude?
I remember a funny story somewhere. I had at least one funny story in the book, but I don't remember what it was exactly. Oh, you know what?
But
was
he had a
funny
sense of humor, huh?
Oh, yeah, heck yes, he did. This is darkly humorous. So Billy the Kid's famous jail escape, he escaped from the Lincoln County Courthouse. So there was this big guard named Bob Ollinger who would always torment Billy with his shotgun. And while Bob was out of the jail taking the other prisoners to dinner, while Billy the Kid was left with the other guard, and so Billy overpowered the other guard, and he managed to find Bob's his shotgun that he was always tormenting Billy with and telling him he was going to shoot him with it. And Billy shot him with his own shotgun, and he said something. Billy said something to him right before he shot him with his own shotgun that was kind of funny, and I'm trying to remember what it was, because he has a lot of, you know how people do when they retell stories, they give it a different line each time. But, yeah, Billy, right before he shot this guy with his own gun, he had some sort of snarky remark he gave him.
I'm sure. Tony Filosi, what do you want to ask Billy the Kid?
Did Pat Garrett really – Pat Garrett, the one that killed you? That's what I'd want to know. That would put a lot of stuff
in. And what if he looked at you straight in the eye and said – who's Pat Garrett?
I said, you're not really Billy the Kid.
Okay.
Did Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett work together a little bit?
Well, they ran in the same circles. Yeah.
I thought so.
They
knew each other casually, right? Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid kind of knew each other casually.
That's most likely. Like they were basically acquaintances, and then to romanticize the legend, people portrayed them as these really good friends, and you know, one of those things where you really don't know.
Right. And another question was, that was my main question, but the Billy Kid killed a fellow named Joe Grant. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
And there's like a story that goes along with that, that, you know, the kid asked for his revolver and sees there's only three bullets in it and switches the chamber. And then when he hands it back to Grant, Grant tries to shoot him. The kid shoots Grant. I would say, man, did it really go down that way, or did you just walk up and cap this guy because he was supposed to kill you? Because I just can't see a guy handing you his, hey, man, you got pretty handles on that there gun, and him reaching the tee and go, yeah, kid, I'm supposed to kill you, but you can check my handles out. I would ask about some of the stories like that. I mean, they're cool stories, but if he did switch the cylinder around where Grant was supposed to just have three rounds in it, which I can't understand you going to kill somebody and only have three rounds in a six shooter. But I would ask him about some of that stuff. Because if he had enough foresight to put the cylinder on him, then the kid was a cunning individual.
Probably. All right. The Amazing Velvet, tell us, what would you ask Billy the Kid?
Sort of on the same lines as the guy just talking, I want to sit down with him and say, did you and Pat Garrett have enough time to really plan this? And did you go to Mexico or wherever? I think he would say yes. And I think he said that he would lay low and do whatever he needed to do to stay alive and stay out of the public eye. Because, you know, after so-called Pat Garrett killing him, you know, it kind of died except for Brushy saying that he was him. So it kind of died, and he probably saw that guy, and that guy never even knew that Billy the Kid was standing next to him. He probably heard the story of this guy saying, hey, I'm Billy the Kid, blah, blah, blah. And he probably was standing right next to Billy the Kid, and he didn't even know it.
All right.
I think that happened.
Good question and good comment. Let's see. Robin McRae, what would you ask Billy, since you're the one that kind of brought up the fact that he was snarky, kind of funny guy like Paul Lynde? Okay, what would you ask Billy the Kid?
Well, rather than, like, zero in on one certain situation, I would ask him, I want to know what his mindset is. Like, what was his thought process on the things that he did? You know, kind of like, what is his side of it? What was his thoughts? I mean, like, what possessed him to do some of the things he did? You know, what drove him? What was his mindset? Because I like to know why people do the things they do. And I just don't get the vibe that he looked at things the way that everybody else did. He looked at things completely different.
That's a good question, because Billy the Kid was orphaned at an early age, and he had to fight for, I mean, he's, I think, some of his first crimes.
He was
arrested for stealing food and or money to buy food and things like that. And then there's a story that allegedly there's some Apaches that, and Mr. LeMay can maybe shed more light on this, where the Apaches took his horse and made him, I mean, Billy had a rough damn life.
I'd like to know his thought process, like, why did he do the certain things that he did? What made him tick? You know, I think we learn more about people when we find out why they do even the simplest of things. You know,
a lot of them like that, I think, are shaped by the circumstance.
Oh, absolutely. I do too.
And I think that shaped him to be a people watcher. I think that shaped him to be a people watcher. So after all that turmoil he'd been through, that's why he took, you know, the route he took.
Right, and that would be a survival mechanism, watching people and figuring out, you know, how they're acting or and what they're going to do. And this certain type of individual does this, and this is the one you stay away from, and this is the one you can get something from. Yeah, that'd definitely be a survival instinct.
Dolly, of all the people in history, I wish you'd come back and talk to us.
maybe if we get lucky, he'll start talking through the cell phone like Lavinia Fisher did down in Somerville with us. Papa Stroh and Robin and Tony, and it was unbelievable. So, John, you get the last question. What would you like to ask Billy the Kid?
I would ask him, when you met John Wilkes Booth, who killed Lincoln, him or Mary Todd? Because, you know, he might have met him in Granbury.
How certain are you that John Wilkes Booth was in Texas?
Not real certain. That's, you know, I think there's less to John Wilkes Booth surviving than there was to Jesse James and Billy possibly surviving. I need to do more research on that one. I just vaguely know the little details and the stuff about the mummy, and that's about it. But what I would really ask Billy is, how many children do you think you sired, and what were the names of the women, so we could trace them and see who might be his descendants today? That's what I think would be really interesting. Because you know he was
That's
no
a good
angel.
Question. Pardon?
You know, he may not have been married, but he was no angel. So I'm sure he's got descendants.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a great question.
He was definitely the cool kid in school. He absolutely. If it was 1975.
Sound like Boogie.
Do what?
Sound like Boogie Woogie.
You know, he might have been a lot like him. He really might have. This is wonderful to talk about Billy the Kid with somebody that really knows. All right, John, I asked you a question right before we went on and we were still in the green room talking. And I've seen a couple of references to this along the way. But you have a page and a half chapter about addressing the issue, was Billy the Kid a woman? Can you expound on that just a little bit?
Well, long before Harry Styles put on a dress, Billy the Kid allegedly put on a dress and highlighted his more feminine features to hide from the law. That's a story that they tell. And then from that story, that was probably true, maybe he did that once just to hide out. From that story, people kind of exaggerated it, because the truth of Billy the Kid was that he had very small hands on big wrists, and because of that he could slip his hands out of shackles very easily. But they took that and said, well, he's got small hands like a woman. He's got a pretty face like a woman. He's got wide hips like a woman. So there was a rumor that Billy the Kid was really a girl who pretended to be a man, but there's not a lot to back that up other than the one story that one time he disguised himself in a dress.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Of course, that's what you said in your book, but that is really interesting. Yeah. We didn't talk about
fighting Dracula.
Do you want me to tell about the movie?
Well, yeah, the time he fought Dracula. The movie was based on a true story, wasn't it?
Now, I don't know. Can you tell me about that?
No, there was no true story. I wish there was, but I don't know who got the idea that they would just make a couple of horror westerns, and they did Jesse James meets Frankenstein's Daughter, and then they did Billy the Kid meets Dracula. And to play Dracula, they had John Carradine, who was Dracula in House of Dracula and House of Frankenstein for Universal back in the 40s. And I hadn't seen it until this Halloween. And, you know, because I'm such a big Billy the Kid fan and a big Dracula fan like you, I think my expectations were a little too high. So I didn't just love it, you know, I have to tell you. But I love the idea of it.
Well, you know what? I actually thought it was a decent movie. I mean, you know, other than the fact that it was probably made for $10,000 and William One Shot Bodine was the director, I thought it had a I mean, it was fairly formulaic, you know, and John, what was great is they imitated the old Dracula, the original Dracula movie, whenever John Carradine was supposedly, as Dracula was supposedly exerting his psychic force, they would put like a mask of light over his eyes, which is just exactly what they did in the 1931 Dracula. And I just loved that. And I thought, you know, what a nice way to celebrate the original Dracula. But but if you haven't seen Jesse James versus Frank meets Frankenstein's daughter, it's the same Eastern European couple. It's the same cast. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it was just so much fun. Papa Stroh just had that double feature on the Stroh Zone. Papa Stroh, do you have any comments on those two films? Because they were priceless, didn't you think?
No, it was great. It was really interesting seeing pretty much just about the same cast telling two different stories, like you mentioned. So it was, fascinating stuff.
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I couldn't finish Jesse James versus Frankenstein's daughter because it just got too clear what was going to happen. And of course, the monster returned to the castle. It always happens. And Dracula always returns to his coffin. So I guess there we go. Human nature will never change. But anyway, it was great stuff. And John, I tell you what, it has been just phenomenal getting to talk to you about Jesse James. Do you have one more really good story you would like to tell us about the man and the legend? He was no myth, but the man, the legend, and America's first rock star.
I just thought it was so really interesting that his tombstone was stolen not once but twice, because it got stolen again in 1981 on the 100th anniversary of his death. So to me, Billy the Kid has probably the most famous gravesite in the world because there's just so much history to it. And in fact, a friend of mine wrote an entire book on Billy the Kid's grave. It's called Billy the Kid's Grave, A History of the Wild West, Most Famous Death Marker by David G. Thomas. So if you were interested in what we talked about tonight and you were interested in the tombstone and all that, that's the whole history of it. Because I love Fort Sumner. My great-grandparents are actually from Fort Sumner, and I think they got there after Billy was around, so I don't think I could be one of his illegitimate descendants. That would be really cool, but I did the math, and I don't think that's possible. But so yeah, my roots are also in Fort Sumner, where Billy died.
Who knows, my friend? Who knows? Would you please do me a favor and please text me the name of the guy, the name of the author, and the name of the book, because I am going to buy it. I cannot wait.
Oh, okay, awesome. I will do that.
That'll be the most entertaining read over Christmas. I cannot wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. And now, as usual, we have you on the first Monday night of each month. So next, I guess on the first Monday night of January, can we at least take a few minutes to talk about Billy the Kid, and then we'll talk about whatever wonderful topic you want to discuss? Would that be okay?
We can always talk about Billy the Kid.
Okay, that's great. All right, well, as Papa Stroh has taught us on WCW Retro, we're all going to go around the room, and we've got our plugs to make. And so we'll go back in that same order. I'm going to go with Devin. What have you got to plug other than the fact that you're quarantined in Hollywood? That sounds like a horror film, doesn't it, Devin?
It does. Kind of feels like it, too, but I am helping promote a new book that's out by my friend Hank Garrett. He is an actor, and he was a wrestler known as the Minnesota Farm Boy back in the day. And he has a new book out called From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavyweight. So it's on Amazon, or you can find it on his website, hankgarrett.biz. But it's a really, really great book. I just read it last week, and it's got a lot of stories, really funny stories about different wrestlers and actors that he's worked with over the years. So I'm just helping to get the word out about it right now.
All right. Well, then I'll tell you what. Since when we interviewed him last time, Papa Stroh wasn't part of our cast. So would you please let Hank Garrett know that we want to interview him again? I want to get a copy of the book, and I'll get it to Papa Stro, and we'll just have a blast interviewing Hank Garrett with Papa Stro and our crew sometime in January. Would that be, you think he'd like to do that?
That would be great. He would, yeah, I'm sure he would love that.
Papa Stro, you all in?
Sure.
I bet you he's going to talk about some of your buddies that you have run into in professional wrestling. So I think that'll be great. That's a good
one. Small world,
man.
It's a small world.
It is. And Devin, definitely, please just text me his name and the name of the book, because it looks like I'm going to be buying some books this week, which is great.
Right.
And thank you very much for working with him. He was a nice guy when we interviewed. So that's good.
He is.
All right, from the murder capital of the world,
yes,
Harlan, Kentucky. What's going on?
We did get the interview. I mentioned trying to line up the interview with who we believe is the last eyewitness to the murder of Manzo Shepherd, and that did happen. If they want to, you know, if they really can't mention your name, they want to remain anonymous. So that's going to be those stories and some more is going to be in some upcoming books Darla and I are working on. Obviously, go to Amazon, check out the Manzo Shepherd story, and my Facebook page, Haunted Harlan County, like it, share it, and then Darla's Harlan County Haunts, like it and share it.
All righty. Well, that sounds good. Robin, what have you got to share with us? And I know you better talk about your wonderful work with some cool dogs and cats.
Yeah. We're going to plug Furry Foots and Critters. It's an animal rescue in Orangeburg, South Carolina. We've got adoption events twice a week at Pet Soap. And we have some amazing kittens and puppies that are ready for Christmas. But I do caution people, you know, it's great to get a nice fuzzy pet for Christmas. It's always wonderful. But keep in mind that when you do this, this is a lifetime, okay? It's a big commitment that goes way past the holidays, and we tend to get a lot of them brought back after the holidays. So just really think about it. You know, when you bring a pet into your home, you're making a commitment that you're going to take care of them for their lives, and that goes far beyond the holidays. But if that is something that you want to do, we've got some great babies that are looking to be adopted this year.
All right, just be sure to, and it's called Furry Foots and Critters on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Yep, and you can message me. We've got all kinds. Lots and lots of babies this year.
Well, that's wonderful. And you got nice people that work with you and everything. You've got Miss Geraldine.
I do.
And you guys,
I do. I have
and you guys
very, I've got John that helps
wonderful.
Us. My husband helps us. And I have a very dear friend of mine that is the other half of this rescue, couldn't do anything without her. And, yeah, we've got some amazing babies that are given an awful lot of love. In fact, I have some climbing all over me right now. And they will make amazing lifetime pets for people.
That's a great phrase, lifetime pets.
Yep.
I think that is wonderful.
Yeah,
right,
we want
well,
forever
a lot.
Homes. We don't want part-time homes.
Right. That's why I can't have one. I'm gone too much. But anyway, thanks a lot
yep,
for that
right.
one.
You just play with them all in my house when you're here.
That's exactly right, especially Chester. Chester's my best friend. He's a, what
yeah,
is he
is.
Robin? What
he
is he?
Is
what
a
kind
Jack
of a dog?
Jack Russell
is?
Cross with a Shih Tzu. We call him the pet
and he
rock.
Knows everything. he's just too smart, which is great. I like smart dogs. All right.
Yeah, he's a riot.
Now, what is going on in Ravenel, South Carolina, Amazing Velvet?
Not too much. It's, you know, it's pretty warm tonight. Not too cold. But only thing I got is hanging out with John sometime this week. Isn't that right, John?
That's right. We will hang out. And you just got over a COVID scare that was not a COVID scare.
Right. Turned out to be the flu, thank goodness.
Yep, go get it checked out. All
yeah.
right, thank you. That'll
no.
be great.
Yes, sir.
And now, the head man at WCW Retro on VOC Nation, Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling. What have you? You've got so much great stuff going on. Tell us about it.
Well, tomorrow night I'll be in the room podcast at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com with Brady Hicks, Kent Fitzpatrick, Derek McDonald, and Matt Groom. We have a special guest, and we take callers from all over the place. And then Thursday night, WCW Retro at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. We're doing a special history of Starrcade tribute of the Starrcade pay-per-views from years past. So this should be a good time for sure. And then Friday night is my horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro, at midnight Eastern Standard Time. And the feature for this Friday night's show will be The Forbidden Planet from the 50s. So please tune in. And
that's a great flick.
Yes. And then if you got any of you listening or in the Charlotte Concord area, I'm going to be there Sunday at Embassy Suites in Concord, North Carolina for the Charlotte Comic Con. It's supposed to be scheduled from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's when I'll be there anyway. And I'll be there with the fellow cast of an upcoming film that will be starring in called The Devil's Daughter, which is a Harlequin Origins fan story film. So with the rest of the cast for that. So if you guys in the area, come check us out Sunday.
All right. Well, that's great. It's always good to see. Who knows? I might be up there, but I don't know. It's a long way away. But thank you for being with us. And I tell you what, we'll all. I know that the Amazing Velvet and I will certainly be on WCW Retro this Thursday night. Look forward to it. And it's just always good to have you, Papa Stroh. And now, if I've covered all of our panelists, I want to ask John LeMay what he's got going on. And it is a real pleasure to have you, John. You spark some of the most interesting talks. You really do. What you got
going
on?
Well, y'all are interesting people. That's easy. I have a brand new Billy the Kid book out. It's really unique. It's called The Man Who Invented Billy the Kid, The Authentic Life of Ash Upson. So in 1882, Pat Garrett wrote a book about Billy the Kid called The Authentic Life of Billy the Kid, but Pat didn't really write it. Ash Upson did. He was basically this drunken, wandering newspaper man who had a fascinating life. Nobody had ever written a biography on Ash Upson before, and I was like appalled. I was shocked because when I was researching my Billy the Kid book, I would come across all these hilarious stories about Ash Upson, who allegedly lived in Silver City with Billy the Kid because Billy the Kid's mother had a boarding house. And then later on, he lived with Pat Garrett after Pat Garrett killed Billy the Kid. So he knew both of them. It's fascinating. So it's the first ever biography on Ash Upson. And again, it's called The Man Who Invented Billy the Kid.
All right, buddy. That's my next book to read. And then we'll have to talk about it. That's great. But thank you so much for being with us, and tell us, just go through a couple of your great books and tell us where to buy them.
Yeah, just type in John LeMay on Amazon. That's a J-O-H-N and then L-E-M-A-Y, and I'll have an Amazon page. And I also run a fanzine called the Lost Films Fanzine. If you're into unmade rare genre films, the newest issue, number 4, is out right now. So that's another little thing. But again, just type in my name on Amazon under books, and you'll find a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, that sounds great. We will do that, and I'll be in touch with you. I got to get that book about Billy the Kid's grave. That's going to be that will be the next book after I read, after the Ash Epson book, because I've got it. It's sitting right there. It is. The man that, I'll even read the title for you. The Man Who Invented Billy the Kid, The Authentic Life of Ash Upson. So, yes, I've got it right here. It's in my stack of John LeMay books. So we're fans of John LeMay down here in Myrtle Beach. And so thank you so much for being with us. I want to thank my panelists that still come back week after week after week. They're such good friends, such talented, smart people. I don't know why you hang out with me, but I sure do appreciate it.
We love you.
The First Lady of Scary Cast, Robin McRae, Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling, the Amazing Velvet, the man from the murder capital of the world, Tony Filosi, and of course, our man from Hollywood, Devin Tate, our man sequestered in Hollywood. How about that, Devin? Is that the correct way to say
yep.
it?
Yep. Sure is.
All right. Sure. I want to thank all of you. You're all really great friends. And we'll see everybody next week. We may have a guest talking about all the obelisks if our guest recovers from some weird stomach flu. I hope our guest doesn't have any kind of COVID stuff, but that's probably who we will have, and it'll be a lot of fun. So from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and the world, thank you to every one of you to be on ScaryCast this week and catch the reruns. And be sure to catch Papa Stroh on Thursday night, WCW Retro, on the VOC Nation, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be there, and so will the Amazing Velvet. So thanks a lot, folks, and we'll see you next week on the one, the only. Oh, and by the way, do not forget on Sunday night, the Amazing Velvet hosts and Papa Stroh hosts, and I'm just there for the ride, the wonderful, wonderful new wrestling podcast, and it's called Pro Wrestling Interviews. We had Mac Murray last time, and we've got another great guest. I've got to put that up, but that is led by the Amazing Velvet, and it's a lot of fun. So please join us, our crowd. We'll also have some other folks that always join us, Granny Hulkster and some others will be there. Malcolm will be there. So we'll have a lot of fun Sunday night. Then Monday night will be ScaryCast. And then Tuesday night we'll be in the room with Papa Stroh and Brady Hicks and Kathy Fitzpatrick, a lovely lady. And then, of course, Thursday night, the one and the only WCW Retro. Followed by Friday, we have to give big props for the Stroh Zone, and he's going to have Forbidden Planet. And that's a great film. I watched that when I was too young to remember. So everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. And John LeMay, thanks, and we'll talk to everybody later. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.